Počúvate podcastový výber denníka ZME, v ktorom zverejňujeme zaujímavé podcasty a minisérie. V nasledujúcich minútach budete počuť minisériu na Slovensku aj po anglicky o živote cudzincov na Slovensku. Podcast je v anglickom jazyku. Ak chcete, aby sa aj váš podcast stal súčasťou SME Výber, ozvíte sa nám na mail výberpodcast@petitpress.sk.
And it happened to me that I was in Argentina and I was dreaming about the Slovakia and I was in Slovakia and I was dreaming about Argentina, so it's really, it's a mess for the immigrant.
This is Na Slovensku aj po anglicky. I'm your host, Jeremy Hill. That voice you heard in the intro was my friend from Argentina. He, like many other migrants, struggles with finding his place in the world. The conditions that compelled him to leave his home country are still present. At the same time, as a foreigner in Slovakia, he must contend with all of the challenges that we've discussed so far in this series. So, he is faced with a set of choices. Move back home and live the best life he can in the midst of an economic crisis, or stay in Slovakia where he must continue the lifelong process of learning Slovak and deal with the isolation many migrants face here, or find a welcoming Spanish-speaking country just so he can start all over again. These choices are what we will be discussing in this episode. This is the 10th and final episode in this series I am producing with support from Fusion, where we attempt to offer an overview of the migrant experience. We have explored the questions: why do people move to Slovakia? What are some essential features of the migrant experience? And why do some eventually leave? Throughout this series, I have spoken with 32 wonderful migrants about their experiences of living in Slovakia. At the time of this recording, only two of them have left the country. This isn't to say that all of these guests are content with their choice of living in Slovakia. Some suffer greatly, but have few options for leaving. Others have made peace with a home that has not yet accepted them. While some have put down roots, seeing a great future for themselves and their families. Success for any given migrant is neither total nor guaranteed. Every individual has unique challenges and advantages. One's mother tongue, skin color, country of origin, personality, and socioeconomic status all factor into each migrant's ability to integrate and find a life worth living. When migrants find that life in Slovakia has become unbearable, or they see opportunity elsewhere, they are faced with a deceptively simple question: should I stay or should I go? So, let's look at this decision-making in progress. Our first guest is from Mexico. He has asked not to share his name, so we will just call him Michael. 7 years ago, Michael moved to Košice with his Ukrainian wife and his first child. Both he and his wife were well-traveled. Michael had lived in Japan and the United States for many years, so they had plenty of experience as migrants. Here is our conversation.
So what was the first year like for you? You were both immigrants.
Yeah, so, well, that's where it's get interesting. The first year was kind of like a little bit interesting. You know, everything is new. Yeah, everything's new. And you're riding that like a little kid, you know, that sense of exploring and finding out things. But by the second year, we realized, okay, there's a little bit of a different taste to it. We were able to just kind of like ride along and ignore the signs of, you know, not being very welcoming to foreigners in the sense of, you know, friendships and letting you into their families and all this. We kind of like made a few scattered friends here and there, and mainly Ukrainian related. What really changed the tone was when the war started. We were living at a house where, you know, for the previous year where we were living there already, the owner had been very just not friendly at all, you know, making any excuse possible to increase rent, to tell us, to warn us about repairing costs, anything. So my wife was starting to get really annoyed. And the war came. For a week, all her family came, fled Kyiv. And within a day, the house was filled with kids and people. And to my surprise, the neighbors, you know, took it to the, like, this is the last drop. Neighbors literally on both sides of the house, because we were in these little houses where they share the walls. There's this rule here in Slovakia. I don't know how enforced it is in Bratislava on the west, but here after 10 p.m., you're supposed to be absolutely deadly quiet. And they do take it to the level of you're making noises, your kid is crying, and I'm gonna call police. They took it to the level where they complained to the landlord that there were people living here, you know, and the contract obviously says you're not allowed to have people other than these four people listed, which is my family. So one day I come back from work and the landlord is there, and she literally forces her way into the house. Like, she forces, you know, there wasn't a physical struggle between me and her, but the husband was in front of her, and I was just like, You cannot go into my house. And she said, this is not your house. And I said, I'm living in this house right now, even though it's not my property, I'm paying the rent for it. And she says, sorry, let me in. She pushed me, she pushed the house, she went in, she saw my wife's family, she came out and she says, that's it, you're out. And I told her, they're from Ukraine, they're refugees, do you understand this? And she says, I don't understand Slovak, talk to me in Slovak. And we had been plenty in communication in English. And when she said this for me, was, you know, you reach an emotional level where you cannot, well, that's how it happened to me. I couldn't understand what was happening. I couldn't believe it was happening while it was happening. And, you know, within a few weeks, she gave me some document, Bipovet, I think it's called, where she's officially telling you, you have to leave the house. So we left the house.
What happened after receiving the eviction notice?
Well, okay, yeah, the eviction. So what my lawyer suggested is, just instead of paying the last month, because she owed me 2 months of deposit, at least the last month, don't pay your rent. I said, are you sure? He says, it's your best chance. So literally the rent was due on the 25th. And on the 26th in the morning, she's ringing at my door and I didn't open. I just let her rang. I was already packing up all my stuff. You know, the house was half empty. And she rang for like 10 minutes. And then she opened the door with her key and went inside. And I'm inside and I say, can you please leave? And she's like, where's my rent? And I said, I'm not going to pay you the rent. And then it got really, really weird, because then she started taping and she says, I'm going to call immigration. I'm going to tell them what you're doing. I'm going to call your company. I'm going to tell them how you're behaving. You're going to be gone. I've never experienced anything like this. Nowhere at any point did it came to be that, oh, you're foreigner. But she did say at the beginning of the contract, a year before that, she says, you're foreigners, and I don't know how long you're going to be here. And because you're foreigners, I need to increase the rent. So we actually ended up paying 100 euros more every month because she said, you're foreigners. So on top of that, she pocketed the 2 months of the deposit. And on top of that, I gave her back the house a few weeks later after this event in pristine condition, like painted, everything clean, everything working, absolutely as a house can be, you know. And she went with a magnifying glass, literally crawling on the floor looking for stuff. And what I'm trying to tell you here is the one experience that I had with one person. But by then, I had been living in Slovakia for 5 years. It's kind of like that drop, the last drop in the glass. Yeah. Where you hear little bits and pieces here and they're like, oh, why are you here? And why are you in Košice? Why are you in Slovakia? You get kinds of comments like, people get surprised that you're actually as a foreigner living here. And beyond that, there was never a welcoming sense or feeling. Like, you know, in that house, I had two neighbors with both families, two kids each family, the same age as my kids, same age. And not once I had a, hey, hello, I'm, you know, my name is, these are my kids. Nothing. And it's obvious that I'm foreigner. My face yells on all sides, foreign. And, you know, it kind of like made me realize in that when I had that experience that, you know, what lasted for a few months between the eviction and all this, it realized there has to be this level of xenophobia, you know. I started with a psychologist kind of like helping me to manage my anger. And she said, you know, this is flat out xenophobia, you know, that they're not comfortable with the foreigner family. I don't know if it's hate or racism or, but it's just, they're not comfortable. And you hear left and right, oh, speak Slovak, please. You know, when I go to the post office, these ladies get annoyed when I don't speak Slovak. They truly get annoyed. They're like, you know, shrugging their shoulders, going like, sorry, can I help? You know, one out of 10 will make the effort to try to, oh, you know, call somebody next to her and do you speak English, or, you know, something that will be in the realm of, let me help you out. Let me try to understand. The rest is just like, sorry, you know, can't help you, won't make the effort. So add to that the fact that Košice is a very small city, a little bit isolated from the rest of the West. I don't really feel like I'm living in Europe. I thought I was coming to a European country within Europe with borders and it would be okay. Now I know this is not Western, or what we call West Europe. Yeah. Even though it's Central Europe and geographically it's in Central Europe or whatever, geographically you can tell me whatever, but the mentality does feel, you know, 40 years in time. And that has made me to clearly make my decision that I will not stay in Slovakia for the, you know, long term. You know, for the time being, I have my job, pays my salary, pays the bills. So I haven't looked into buying a house for sure. People tell me, why are you still renting? You should buy a house. And, you know, that cements my future here. And that's the one thing I'm not doing. Yeah, for the time being, I'm just kind of like keeping the door open to move to the only thing that keeps me here is my job. And as a non-European, it's hard to find jobs somewhere else. So I'm looking if going back to Mexico, but there's my personal situation with my family, with my wife, that, you know, they want to be in Europe. So I'm just kind of like looking for options there.
Of course, not all migrants leave Slovakia due to such pressure. Many come with the expectation that they will leave one day. This was true for our next guest.
Yeah, So I'm Anna Sventek. I'm from New Hampshire originally, and I moved to Bratislava in November of 2017. Prior to then, I had done some, you know, kind of solo travel in Central and Eastern Europe. After I graduated from school with a writing degree, I did not really know what I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to travel. So I had a few opportunities to volunteer as an ESL teacher. And then I did some workaway programs. So workaway is basically this exchange where you can offer to do work for a family abroad in exchange for food and board, which is great when you're traveling on a budget and looking for experiences to make it worthwhile. I was traveling on my own in Europe for 3 months or so and blogging at the same time. And that ended up being sort of my writing portfolio that I would show potential employers. While I was abroad, an opportunity came up. So my parents were friends with one of the founders of the Slovak Spectator. So to give a little background, as a family, we lived in Bratislava in the 90s because my mom worked for the British Foreign Office. So we had a few connections there still. My mom was sort of mentioning that I was interested in traveling, but didn't really know what I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to write. And he offered to just sort of reach out and see if the Spectator had any openings. And it happened that they did. They were looking for a new copy editor. So I was communicating back and forth with Michaela Terenzani, who was the editor in chief at that time. We basically struck a deal, and I moved to Slovakia in November and started working for the Spectator, mostly as a copy editor. But I got the chance to write as well, which was a really cool experience. And I certainly didn't expect to go into journalism, but I absolutely loved my time there and got to meet some interesting people and hear some amazing stories. So it was cool.
So I guess you had a lot of reasons to stay in Slovakia, but you did decide to leave. And was this always in the cards? You were just buying more time to stay before you came home, or what made you decide to go back home, and why then?
Yeah, no. So I think I knew I wasn't going to stay in Slovakia forever. And my husband also is a traveler, and he wanted to experience life in a different country. And we just sort of came to that decision together. But obviously the pandemic kind of derailed some of those plans. Originally we were looking at moving to the UK, actually. And that didn't really work out. The UK is not necessarily a place where a foreigner can easily find work. Even though I'm half British, I didn't have any luck finding the right job. As much as I loved my time in Slovakia, I knew it was time to leave. I just I felt like I had gotten everything out of my time at the Spectator and the country in general. And I was starting to feel too comfortable again, and that scared me a bit. I wanted to challenge myself and see what else I could learn. I want to gain new skills. And I also, I missed home. And I think you have to leave for a sustained amount of time to realize how much you love your home country. We started to look at where to move on to, and it just so happened in New Hampshire. So my dad works for the state, and he saw this job posting for the Secretary of State's office. And I applied thinking there was no way I was going to get a call back. You know, it was definitely a reach, I would say. they decided to interview me. And going into the interview, I didn't really think anything was going to come out of it. But at least I could say I tried. And yeah, I was kind of shocked when they called me and offered me the job, and it all kind of fell together very quickly. So yeah, I decided to move to the US. Obviously the tough part of that is my husband stayed behind. We were going through this fiance visa process, which unfortunately didn't come in time for our October wedding. So after we got married, we had to reapply for this marriage visa, and we're still waiting for that to come to fruition. So we are in sort of a long distance marriage right now, which is certainly not ideal, but we're getting there. But yeah, so that's sort of how I ended up here. But certainly I have a deep love for Slovakia. And I think now when I get the opportunity to visit, I'm seeing it with fresh eyes again. And, mm-hmm. you know, the little things I maybe used to take for granted have a magic about them once again. And mm-hmm. yeah, it's just a very special country.
Right, right. Well, what do you miss the most?
You know, it's weird. I actually, one thing I really miss is my daily trolley bus ride from Červený Kríž to Kolorovo Námestie. Because, you know, now I drive to work, and that's a very common thing in this area. Everybody has a car. Everybody has to drive. But in Bratislava, it's very easy to get around on public transport. And yeah, even though it was a short trolley bus ride, I loved that, you know, I would always sit in the same seat. I'd read a few pages from my book. I'd look out the window, and it was kind of that daily meditation that I needed to like really make the most out of the day. And yeah, I feel like I don't necessarily have as much opportunity to do that here. But yeah, I miss the routine things, and I miss the cafe culture and just walking around Old Town and listening to how, you know, heels click on the cobblestone and that the sort of stuff that makes you feel cozy inside, I guess.
I'm curious, what was the transition like going back home? Yeah, you'd lived here for 4 years. Did you have reverse culture shock?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I moved back 1 week before I started my new job. And in that week, I had to find, well, I stayed with my parents for a while, but I was looking for housing in Concord, the capital where I work. And I bought a car. I've never owned a car in my life. And I remember going to the car dealership with my mom and, you know, negotiating this crazy expensive car loan. But it does give you a lot of freedom. So that's been pretty cool having a car. And yeah, I think there's definitely been reverse culture shock. Certainly watching the news and hearing about shootings almost every day, that never gets normal. It's not surprising, unfortunately, but I think one thing I didn't miss about the US is the gun culture. And yeah, I think also just being around a lot of native English speakers felt weird for a while. But yeah, I think in general, I'm still kind of getting used to being back home and realizing that life continued when I was gone. And life in Slovakia is continuing as well while I'm not there. And that's always, I think, a little hard at first to get used to. But that's just kind of like the reality of being somebody, a transient person, you know, moving between different countries and such. But yeah, it's crazy to think I've been here for over a year now. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for newly arrived migrants in Slovakia?
Yeah, I would say don't be afraid to embarrass yourself. So I think when you're a foreigner, and especially, you know, living in a country where English is not the main language spoken, it can be a very uncomfortable thing to try and communicate in that language as you're learning it. And nobody likes that feeling when you're trying so hard to communicate in that language and people are giving you strange stares and they don't understand what you're trying to say. It can be a very uncomfortable feeling, but I would say it's worth feeling that and really pushing yourself outside of what's comfortable, because that's the only way that you can really experience fully what the country has to offer. And yeah, I would say don't get discouraged. It takes a while to make true connections, I would say. And I think sometimes, especially with American culture, people are very friendly. And it's a very normal thing to walk down the street, smile at strangers, say hello. That's not so common in Slovakia. You might get some strange looks if you do. So I certainly did. But I also found when you took the time to make a connection, in my case, you know, with Slovaks, once you make that connection, it's very genuine. And when you befriend a Slovak, it's almost like you're befriending their whole family. and yeah, the level of hospitality I experienced in Slovakia is very hard to match. And I think that's a big part of the reason I stayed much longer than I anticipated. But yeah, I think anyone who wants to move to Slovakia, go for it. I mean, not a lot of people do that. Unfortunately, not a lot of people even know where Slovakia is. So go ahead and be different.
Anna's story may be familiar to young professionals. Opportunities can present themselves back home or sometimes abroad. Our next guest followed love to another foreign country to start all over again with a fresh perspective.
Hello, I'm Aneta. I'm from Poland. I came to Slovakia in 2016 because I found a job in Slovakia. I just had a really crazy thought in my mind in 2016 that I will go abroad and work abroad. I got the offer from Slovakia, which I accepted, and spent 3 really nice years living in and working in Bratislava.
So the culture is quite similar, but did you have any trouble adjusting to life here?
No, not really. There are things that are different, and some things were just not what I expected, maybe, or not what I was used to. But maybe it's just the fact now I'm thinking about that. It was just a matter of like getting out of your comfort zone and doing things on your own without any friends, because I just didn't know anybody in Slovakia. I just came there and made friends, which I also found very easy, not only with other Polish people, because there is a community of Polish people in Slovakia. Funny enough, I met a friend from my hometown working in the same place as I did. But also with Slovak people, I made loads of friends with them, and plenty of people from basically any country I can think of, even from Brazil. So I was really maybe just lucky or maybe blessed. but I'm only speaking for myself. I found it very easy to meet people and get on well with them.
Well, during your stay, you met the love of your life. Did you get married in Slovakia?
No, and I'm not a fan of getting married at all,
see.
Will not happen.
But you did follow your love to the UK, right?
I did, yes, exactly. But I think the decision I wanted to move out from Slovakia was made before I met my partner, because 2018, that was the year, was a year of some bad decisions I made, some very unlucky situations for me too. Everything started breaking. I lost my card. I had a bad breakup as well. And I just wanted to, I thought I will move somewhere else and I will start from from beginning. And then I met Mark, my partner, and that made easy to make that decision just happen in life. So I moved to the UK from Slovakia, because in 2018 I thought I was not happy in Bratislava.
Is there anything that could have kept you here?
At that time, probably no. Mm-hmm. Nothing, because I was so much in love that I did not think about anything else. But because I moved to a Brexit UK, mm-hmm. Not everything was so easy as it was in Slovakia. So comparing those two things when it comes to living and working, that is like heaven and hell, I would say.
How about other things? Culturally, is it more difficult to live in the UK?
Yes, it is, because in Slovakia I have not heard any stereotypes about Polish people, or mm-hmm. maybe just one that, oh, we drink a lot, and Slovak people are always asking me to bring them Polish vodka when I was going home. But nothing else. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because our countries are very close and our cultures are quite similar. So are the languages. But I never had a problem anybody from Slovakia telling me something bad because I'm from Poland. And same, I think it's with working in Slovakia and working in the UK. So in Slovakia, maybe I was just lucky. I'm again repeating this. I'm speaking only for myself, but I worked in three companies in Slovakia. In all of them, I felt like my experience, my education, and my skills were really appreciated. And I think I was I felt welcomed there. I think it did boost my confidence working in Slovakia in all those three companies. Whereas now, I don't think it's the same. I would say in the UK, if you don't have the education and experience from England, you're not considered a great employee. And in Slovakia, I think the attitude towards foreign people working for your company, especially the big companies, is very different, but in a positive way.
So Slovakia was your first foreign country to live in. Did it teach you anything about being a migrant, something that's helped you living in the UK?
Oh, that's a really good question. I never really thought about that, but I think living in Slovakia taught me how to live just on my own, because I came to Slovakia not knowing anybody. I had nobody to help me. And it teaches kind of independence in a way that, oh, I don't know this city, and it's a big city. I don't really know the language. I don't know if people are speaking English. And I was just, I think I was really curious, and I was very happy about exploring everything in Slovakia, the culture and the people. I was lucky enough to meet people that were really open to help as well. And I made friends that I'm still friends with, and I think they'll be for a lifetime. So one of the girls I met is going to be a godmother of my son. So I'm hoping this is for a lifetime. So I think that's the thing I got from Slovakia, is just trying to get by on your own, really.
Do you have any advice for newly arrived migrants?
Be patient, give yourself time, and give that city time as well, because you may fall in love with some little things that are happening in different seasons, and be open to foreign people living there from all countries, and be open to Slovak people, because they are really great. Maybe it's a stereotype as well about all the Slavic countries that people are not really tolerant and conservative. But you can live with this stereotype and be just, you know, have your own opinion before meeting somebody. But when you have a blank page and you meet some of the people that were born here, living for years and years, you can just you can feel at home sometimes, because I think Slovak people are really, really welcoming. I had neighbors that were inviting me to their houses. The lady that I was renting the flat from, the lady from the agency I was using to find the flat, I was invited to their houses, and they were so nice. We're still somewhere in touch on Facebook in the messages. So all my memories about people, maybe not men, are really really nice. And now speaking about them and thinking of some of them, it makes me really loved.
I hope that it has become clear over this series that while there is a common thread running through our experiences as migrants, no two lives are exactly alike. This fact is not always well understood by the native-born population. However, we must start somewhere. That is why this series was created. This overview was meant to serve as a conversation starter. We want to introduce some general concepts so that people can start to see this nebulous group called foreigners as a collection of individuals. From here, we can begin to show the uniqueness of our experiences, so that we may be viewed as humans, not just foreigners. That is all for this episode. I want to thank my guest, Michael from Mexico, Aneta from Poland, and Anna from the USA. As I said before, this episode and my series on migration were created with support from Fusion, a program of the Milan Szemeczka Foundation. Their goal is to create a platform for migrants living in Slovakia whose voices should be heard more in our society. Fusion hosts the Fusion Festival, and with the cooperation of migrants and their communities, organizes other events around the country to showcase the art, projects, perspectives, and stories of these lesser-known people. To learn more about their events and hear the stories of other migrants living in Slovakia, visit fusion.sk. That's FJUZN.sk. Also follow them on social media. I'll link to them in the show description. While this episode marks the end of this overview, it is not the end of Na Slovensku aj po anglicky. I will take a little time off and then start work on a new set of episodes. I would love to hear from you. If you have any stories to share or want to offer some feedback on this show, please visit my website at nsapapodcast.eu. There you can find my contact details. Please rate and subscribe to this show wherever you get your podcast. It really helps. Thank you all so much for listening. See you next season. Take care.